scared to death. You scratch and you ain't nothing itching. You bend and bow and buckle and skin and grin and play games. You better study what makes you do what you do. We nurse the milk of fear from our mother's breasts because black people could be slaughtered at whim and will of any slave master. We couldn't marry one another. For 300 years, we were locked out of having a normal family where I would see a woman, fall in love with that woman, marry her, and produce children. That was not for us. We could not marry. Think about that. The basic unit of civilization is marriage and family. And when you deny us marriage and deny us family, you put us into the family of wild beasts, and then you expect us to act on a level as though that didn't exist. Look, man, for 300 years, the black man was bred like a stud horse. Big, strong, burly. And send him in to any one of you women. You had no control over your private parts. If the slave master said lay with him, that was your duty. To make a strong slave. You couldn't say no, because if you said no, the slave master would punish you. You couldn't tell him no when he said, I'm coming into you tonight. So the children born from that kind of expression that could be sold away to this plantation owner, the mother sold in another direction, the father or the person that put the seed there sold in another. There was no fathering going on. The effect of that is with us right now. The hatred that we developed, the desire to be close to the master to get favors. So people wanted to get in the big house because they could get a buttered piece of bread and a little piece of chicken, and the master would give them a top hat to wear. And he would strut out on the plantation and tell the other field niggas, go to work. Master said so. And some of you professors are like that right now. You're just in another age. But you can't be a man. You can't be a woman. Because you're afraid. No fearful man can stand up and make change in the world. You got to grow up out of slavery. You're a modern 20th century Cadillac driving, alligator shoe wearing, Gucci bag toting slave with a PhD degree. In order to please the master, he would put us to fighting each other and bet on us. The master from that plantation had a big nigga. He said, my nigga can beat your nigga. So they match him up. So today they're doing the same thing. Come on, Tyson. Come on, so-and-so. Beat each other's brains out. We're going to give you millions of dollars because we know you're dumb as hell. We'll take it all back and give you a white woman and you'll bring it all back to us. Look at you. You know I'm right. You want better relationship with white people? You can never have better relationship with them going after their woman. There's no white man that has any self-respect that want to see you with his woman. But they bring you to Cornell, make you a football player. Same old big burly nigga principal. But only the plan. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to show you, you haven't graduated yet. You're still used on a plantation. Only you're made to think you're free. They go down and they scout you like they put you on the damn auction block, and they squeeze your buttocks and your breasts and say, that big nigga, I want him. He's gonna be a tackle. He's gonna be a guard. They bring you to Cornell. You're good enough to play football. You're good enough to play basketball. You're good enough to run track. But you're not good enough to graduate and make a difference for your people. They take you away from black struggle. And then the next thing we know, you walk into campus with a white girlfriend. Wait a minute. I know what you say. It's love. It's love. It's love. Oh, I know what you say. And you're right. Love can transcend color differences. Love can transcend racial barriers. But is that what you got? How the hell can you love anybody else if you don't love yourself? If you tell me that you love the white woman because you love yourself and have pride in yourself and you have grown now and you have gone beyond race and fell in love, I can appreciate that. But if you do it out of the sick self-rejection, self-hatred, always wanted what you could never have, and now that she's available to you, you think you're in heaven now because you got a white woman by your side. Boy, let me tell you something, that's a hell of a trade-off for justice. Years they wouldn't let us read a book. 300 years no black man was allowed to read or write, and if they caught any white person trying to teach us to read or write, they would beat them. 300 years like this, 300 years in the fields, 300 years. Yeah, I say the same. Never again. Never again. Never again. See, a lot of folk had their hand in bringing us into this shameful condition, brothers and sisters. When you read American literature or Western literature, they put it all on the Arabs. The Arabs were part of the slave trade. Yeah, some of them were. That's true, some of them were. But wait a minute, don't drop all of that on the Arabs now. In the Jewish encyclopedia, not from some alien document, in the Jewish encyclopedia, they name several Jews that owned the ships that ran the course, that kept going back and forth, bringing blacks into slavery. That is true. Not all Jews, some. Irish, English, European captains, slave makers, slave traders, trading in black cargo, and some of our own African brothers sold. So the whole world had a part in bringing us to this shameful condition, and now the world mocks the black man and steps on him and laughs at him and spits on him and makes mockery of him and writes funny poetry about him. But I'm here by the help of Almighty God to put a stop to that forever. Forever. That's over with. I don't want no slave relationship with white people. I don't want this doggone master-slave, patronizing, paternalistic, compromised relationship. If you're a man, stand up like a man. If you're a woman, stand up and let's look each other eyeball to eyeball and let's sit down and talk about the future of the planet that we live on. but there ain't gonna be no more master. Only God is recognized today as master. Yeah. 300 years, brother. And then they said, we're going to allow them to be Christians. Now, all the while, these white folks were Christians, talking about how God is love, how Jesus died for everybody. All the time that they were talking that, we were working in the field from can't see morning to can't see night. Do you know how America got rich? I want to talk to you people, because I want to show you that these black people made a contribution to this nation. A major contribution. At every critical period, we were there. So now if you deny us today, we are here at a critical period today. Today it ain't gonna be no tomorrow. We're at the end of all of this right now. We're gonna have to make some hard decisions. Look, after 300 years of this, they said, let him in the church. The Pope was over there in Rome. He's a Catholic. He was sitting in the seat of Peter. He's a man of religion. They didn't speak against slavery. None of these people spoke against slavery. There were a few whites who wanted to see it done away with because they knew it would be the downfall of America if it wasn't done away with. They saw historically, biblically, what slavery did to Egypt. They didn't want that to happen to America. John Brown and the abolitionists wanted to put a stop to it, but they were the minority. All the while that we were in slavery, we had fought for your freedom. I want you to think about this. When George Washington said, we're tired of being a colony, we want to be free. The first person to die was a black man.
Think about it.
Crispus Attucks.
Think about it.
And did you know that he wasn't the only one to die? There were blacks in the army of George Washington who were promised freedom. I mean, to be respected as free men. They had already fled from the South. They had a measure of freedom. They fought with George Washington, and they fought on the side of the British because the British said, if you help us to prevail, you'll be free totally. Did you know that? You didn't know that. You got your independence. Now you're a nation. And here the blacks were after we fought and died for your independence as a nation. Niggers again. Get back in the tool chest till we need you again. Deprived us of labor for 300 years, we built the economy of the South. And in the North, individuals that sold, manned the ships and sold us for rum. You remember? Come on. Traded rum for us. New England became strong. Industrialized, the industrial North, the agrarian South, and at the root of it was the trade of human black bodies. But what do we have to show for what we've done for America? We out here in the ghetto, living from welfare check to welfare check, with nothing. When it came time for slavery to end, what was that man's name? Abraham Lincoln? That man wanted to protect the Union, the South seceding from the Union. The Civil War began. Do you know how many black soldiers were in the Civil War? Mind you now, we're not equal to whites. We're not yet free. Over 400,000 fighting in a war, North against South. We that came up from the Underground Railroad, running away, earning our slavery, earning our freedom, buying our freedom, on the side of the Northern soldiers. The black soldiers fought with purpose because we thought we were freeing our brothers in the South. And if the real history be told, they were the best soldiers. And in the end, the black soldiers helped conquer the South. And black soldiers were the militia to keep the South in order. Whites still didn't want to come back into the Union, and because they didn't want to come back, check this out. That's when blacks came into the Senate and the Congress and got political power. Huh? And it was blacks from the South in the Congress that led the South back into the Union. See, we were there at every critical juncture in the history. Then when the whites said, all right, we're coming back in, but them niggas gotta go. Get the militia out of here. I'm just telling you the way it was. In the book. Then we lost every position that we had. Then the Knight Riders came and the Ku Klux Klan arose to put niggas in their place. And it didn't start in the South. The Ku Klux Klan was born in the Midwest. We're dying now. We fight on both sides. The North prevails. We are the militia used by the president to keep order in the South. The South said, look, take these blacks. We don't want these black militias down here keeping us in order. Well, come on back in then. So gradually the South came back into the Union, kicked the blacks out. Whites now control the Congress. No black senators. And today, with all this end of racism and the good feeling that we have today, is not one black senator in the U.S. Senate. And here we are, nearly 40 million people. Got the Congressional Black Caucus, a few people there, and one man on the Supreme Court, overridden by several others, more and more conservative. How can we get justice in a setup like that? Huh? Yeah, you got in World War I. You remember that? The Kaiser? Every time white folks got in trouble, that's when we make advancement. Have you noticed it? When they got in trouble, World War I, when did America get in that war? About 1 year before it ended, I think. It ended in 1918. I think America got in 1917. The blacks were chomping at the bit. We want to fight. We want to fight. Beautiful. World War II come. Japanese attack Pearl Harbor. Blacks say, we want to end. We go fight. We were in the South Pacific. The Japanese would capture us. And when they try to talk to us, say, same, same. We would look at them and say, same, same. Now, I'm an American. You more American than the American. You fight harder for something that doesn't give a doggone about you. We got to change all of that. Don't we?
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
What's the matter? You scared to talk? Then I'll talk for you. We got to change it. After World War II, America defeated Japan and Germany with black help.
Right.
A Marshall Plan built up Germany. Check it out. Fastest growing economy in Europe. West Germany. We crushed Japan. Now We helped build Japan. Japan is number one in the world. And where are you? Where are you? What did you get out of it? Nothing. Nothing. You went to war in Korea, and you went to war in Vietnam. 35% of the casualties were black and Hispanic. And here we are, just 10% of the population at that time, but 35% of the casualties. What does that tell you, man? It tells you that we are fighting and dying to uphold the rich in their blood sucking of the poor. They use poor whites, Native Americans, Hispanics, and blacks. The rich, they don't go to war. Ask Mr. Quayle. Now, sisters and brothers and white students, here's the crusher. Here's something that maybe you never thought of. We've had brilliant black leaders that come up among us that ache for our ache, and they develop solutions. One of those black men, oh, a very great man too, as you look back on him, Booker T. Washington, very brilliant man, set up Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. The man was smart. He knew that white folk weren't ready to see black folk as thinkers. So he said, well, let me develop them so that they could be good with their hands. White folks applauded that. They gave him some money. He built a school that dealt with agriculture and technical development. You can never build any civilization without agriculture. Many of you, you look down on the farmer, you speak ill of the farmer, but without the farmer, none of us could be here. And the farmers in America today are suffering. And as the farmer goes, the nation is going down behind that farmer. That man was showing us the value of going to the earth. Then came W.E.B. Du Bois. E.B. Du Bois said, let's develop the talented tenth. He put us into history and the sciences and humanities. E.B. Du Bois, a very brilliant man. Where did he die? He died in Africa. You know why? The poor man worked for us, fought for us, but America became afraid of his scholarship. They saw him leaning towards socialist theories, and they did not want anybody with socialist ideas or communist ideas to infect the slave. Paul Robeson. How many of you heard of Paul Robeson? Paul Robeson was not just a brilliant singer or actor, he was a scholar. And when he went to Europe, he was accepted by the Europeans. He went to Russia, he learned in Russia, he was accepted by the Russians. When the Americans saw, he was accepted all over the world. He comes back home now to fight for us. America says, he's a communist, he's a communist. Then we turn around and stone him. He died in the 70s in Philadelphia, a broken man, because the government and its propaganda turned us against a man who was good for us. Have you ever heard of Marcus Garvey? What a great black giant. Marcus Garvey was one of our greatest minds. He came and he wanted us to build factories. He wanted us to employ ourselves, But he also wanted us, if we weren't having any peace in America, to look at Africa. Look at that great continent with its vast treasures. Perhaps if we took what we learned in America and returned, he said, to Africa, we could build Africa. That wasn't just Garvey's talk. Abraham Lincoln and Douglas had many debates over the same question as, what are we going to do with the unwanted presence of millions of blacks? And Abraham Lincoln said, as long as black people are in America, there will never be any social equality. He said, I'm not in favor of making you all jurors and giving you equality. And as long as you're in America, there's going to be the position of superior and inferior. And I, as much as any other white person, want the superior position assigned to the white race. This is Abraham Lincoln's words. Abraham Lincoln didn't care nothing about freeing slaves. He wanted to preserve the Union. And if to preserve the Union meant letting you go, he let you go. But if to preserve the Union he could keep you a slave, he kept you a slave. So he let you go. But he didn't let you go with sense to do something for yourself. So you went right back to the master and said, Master, I don't know what to do with freedom. You got a job? And you're the same way in 1989. You're going to graduate from Cornell. What are you going to do with your education? You go into white people and ask them, do you have a job for me? You got a job? And if the white man says, I have an opening, and you say, yes, well, I'm very highly qualified. But here's my Irish brother. He's not as qualified as you, but he needs a job. Well, what does that mean? I'm the one that's most qualified. Listen, if you don't give me the job, I'm going to get my picket sign. You're racist. No, he's looking out for his own. There is nothing wrong with a Jewish person hiring a Jew that needs a job before he hires a black. He's looking out for his own. Your problem is you have never set up nothing of your own to give yourself a job. Oh, man, it's pitiful. Pitiful. Yeah? So now civil rights comes. We're going to picket now. We're going to protest you all. We don't like the way you treat us. So we're going to march. Enter Martin Luther King Jr. Brilliant man. Soulful human being. Spiritually, just a giant. A lover of humanity. He never wanted to see violence break out between black and white. He was hoping that we could make a better society nonviolently. And he got blacks to go along with him. Whites would beat him and we would just, you know, take it. Great strength, brother. Great strength. I don't think it's intelligent, but great strength. And what did we get for it? We can go to the toilet now. On the highway. We can sleep in white folks' hotels now, white folks' motels. Before integration, we had our own bus companies, our own restaurants, our own hotels and motels. We were building an economic base. But when white folks said we could come in, we stopped supporting our own. So as we got on their bus, our bus company died. As we went into their hotels, our hotels closed up. As we could eat steak with white folks downtown, our uptown steakhouse closed down. Talk to me. Yes. Did it happen? Yes. Yes, Jews and blacks marched together, suffered together. But who took advantage of the results? When the 64 Voting Rights Bill was passed and the Public Accommodations Bill was passed, no Jew could be kept out anymore. But the Jewish person was more qualified to take advantage of the law. Law can only be put on the book, but if you are not qualified to take advantage of the law means nothing. Yes. You have a law called reproduction. A six-year-old boy and girl can't take advantage of the law. The law is there, but they have to develop in order to take advantage of the law. They got a 10% set aside that the black folk work to get passed through the Congress that allows 10% of money to be set aside on any project for what they call minorities. And we don't have nobody able to go in and take that money. So white people would get a black person to front. They'd go in and collect the 10% set aside. So we marched. We were shot down. We were beat up. We were imprisoned. And here we are 20 years later. Now you got gay liberation coming on your back, on the back of the civil rights movement. You got the feminine movement coming on the back of the civil rights movement. And where's the blacks? Where are you? You brought it all about. You suffered to bring it about. But where are you? You're in the same condition relatively that you were in. Yes, we got a bigger middle class. And while you were busy sitting around sipping tea and talking about how sweet it is, we